We're doing the Navi Zechariah, and the Navi had described that he, or really it's Hashem, will shepherd the sheep with two sticks, two staffs. One will be called Noam, pleasant, and that's the kings, the original kings of the Hasmonean kingdom, who ruled over us in a pleasant way. And one staff was called Chovelim, the wounding staff, and those were the kings that followed the second half of the period of the Second Temple, the Herodian dynasty, and also the conclusion of the Hasmonean dynasty, which were murderous kings, and they really destroyed the people. So the Navi is describing how there will be two forms of leadership during the coming period. And the Navi says in Pasuk Chet, Perk Yudalev Pasuk Chet, Va'achid et shiloshet haro'im b'yerach echad. And in 1 month, I wiped out the three shepherds. And the simple meaning here is that we're talking about the three shepherds, the three good kings from the Hasmonean dynasty. Those were the three sons of Matityahu, Ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol. The three of them were Yehuda, who was a king for 6 years, Yonatan for 6 years, and Shimon for 18 years, totaling 30 years. And so the Navi sometimes calls the years days. Sometimes he says a day and he means a year. And over here he says a month. In 1 month, it's as though he would say in 30 days, which could mean 30 years, because that was the total span of their kingdom. The good kings from the Hasmonean dynasty only lasted for 30 years. And afterwards we started suffering. So Hashem says, I removed the three shepherds after 1 month, after one series of 30 years. Vatikzal nafshi bahem. Vegam nafsham b'chalavi. And Hashem says, I became annoyed with them. It became tedious to have the people, and they too, the sheep, were tired of me. Ordinarily, when a shepherd yells at the sheep, they listen. They hear they didn't listen. And so this is a reference to the fact that the people turned their back on the way of Hashem, and so Hashem did the same to them. Yeah.
Why did Hashem wipe out the good kings?
So because of that, because the people were sinful and disinterested in a Jewish way of life, that's why Hashem said, "Okay, I'll set up a kingdom that will be harmful." Chovelim. Yeah.
When he say that, like he says a day and it means a year, and a month means 30 years, like when he's giving off his prophecy, can't that become confusing? Because I thought with positive mitzvot, with positive prophecy, they test it and it has to be as he says. So if he says a day and the next day comes, and they're thinking, they're not realizing. It's
excellent,
a year.
Excellent. You're 100% right. You're right. Rashi says that the prophecies of Zechariah are very, very hard to figure out. The pshat we gave is one pshat. Rashi quotes another pshat that it's talking about the history of the Jewish people, that towards the conclusion of the period of the First Temple, so there was a time when three families were annihilated. The family of Yehu, the family of Achav, and the family of Ahaziah. Three families of kings that because they sinned, so I'm sorry. Not the family of Yehu. Yehu was the one who did the killing. Yehu killed out the family of Achav. Hashem sent him to do that, and the family of Ahaziah, and then the rest of the Davidic dynasty. There was a time when the Davidic dynasty was annihilated. The only one that remained was Yoash. They managed to hide him, but. That's the period he's talking about. The three shepherds means the three families that led the Jewish people from the kings of the north of Samaria to the kings of the south, the kings of Judea, through the Davidic dynasty. These three families of leaders, they were annihilated. So that's how Rashi learns. Chazal tell us, V'achid et shlosh taroim b'yerach echad, I removed from you the three shepherds in 1 month. That's a reference to the fact that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam all died in the same month. But they didn't die in the same month. Miriam died, it's a machlokas, whether she died in the beginning of the 40 years or the end of the 40 years. Aaron died in the month of Av, and Moshe died almost a whole year later, a good 7 months later in the month of Adar. What does it mean? Hashem says, I wiped them out in 1 month. So Chazal say it means like this. Each shepherd was watching us with a different blessing. So in the merit of Miriam, we had the well. Then Miriam died, and we lost the well. So the people complained, and Hashem told Moshe, go speak to the rock, and we got the well back. Why did we get the well back? If it was Miriam's merit that gave us the well all along, why did we get it back? So Chazal said we got it back in the merit of Moshe. Moshe's merit, we got back the well. Then Aaron passes away, and we lose the clouds that would surround us as we're traveling through the desert. They were really there as a merit of Aaron. So now Aaron passes away and we lose the clouds. Again, the clouds come back in the merit of Moshe. And then we come to the seventh of Adar. Moshe passes away. And when Moshe passes away, we stop having the man. The man came down in Moshe's merit. But we just said that the well came back and the clouds came back. And all three were there in the merit of Moshe. And when Moshe died, so then all three went away. Moshe died, and we stopped having the man, the well, the clouds. And Chazal say, the people felt as if Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam had all died on the same day. Because Moshe would bring them the blessings that Aaron and Miriam brought on their own, so then when Moshe died, it was as though all three had died in the same month. That's how Chazal darsh in the pasuk. V'achid et shlosh torim b'yarech echad. V'omar lo ereh etchem. And so I said to the owners of the sheep, so to speak, I'm not going to watch your sheep anymore. Hameitat tamut v'hanichedet tikached. V'hanisharot tochalna isha et besar reuta. The Navi says, Hashem says, I'm not gonna shepherd you anymore. And hamita tamut, and whatever happens, I'm not interested. Those of you who die will die. I'm not going to shepherd the sheep, so some are going to go off and get killed. And the one that gets lost from the rest of the herd, let it get lost. And those that remain with the herd, the sheep will start eating one another, and I won't get involved. And that's what Hashem says. I'm pulling myself back from you. If this is the way you're going to behave, you won't have Ashgacha anymore, and I'm going to leave you, let nature take care of you. Some of you will go out and be killed. Some of you will get lost. And those that remain, out of the famine that will ensue, you'll find the people found themselves eating one another. And that's, Josephus records that really happened towards the end of the period of the Second Temple. Vaykach et makli et noham vaygda oto. And afterwards I took the staff that we had named Noam, the pleasant staff, and I destroyed it. Le'afer et beriti asher karati et kol ha'amim. And this signified the annulment of the covenant that Hashem made with all the nations. When the Jewish people had those three shepherds, so they had the power that the nations made all kinds of treaties with them. The Romans made treaties with them, and we had a peaceful period during the reign of those first three Hasmonean kings. After they died, so the people sinned, they left Hashem, and then suddenly the Romans turned their back on the treaty, and the nations looked at us, and they weren't scared of us anymore. We didn't have these brilliant generals. And then Hashem purposely made us weaker in the eyes of the nation, And the nations went back on their treaties with us, and they started attacking us. And on that day when the three brothers finally all passed away, so then the nations attacked again. The covenant was annulled. When all this happened, so then the poor ones among the sheep, meaning the humble ones among Israel, who took note of what the Navi Zechariah said, and they were waiting, and they saw the prophecies come true, so then they realized that the Navi had spoken truth. Meaning the Navi Zechariah is talking a few centuries earlier. The Navi Zechariah is talking in the beginning of the Second Temple. And he is foreshadowing, he's prophesizing about what's yet to come. So when it actually happened, those people who had kept up with the Nevuot of Zechariah, they saw how his Nevuot were really fulfilled. Yeah?
I find it interesting that we would have are we able to have peace treaties with nations that are so blatant in Avodah Zarah, and especially the Romans who were taking control of Yerushalayim even? Are we allowed to set treaties with that? I thought that we were supposed to not in the sense with the Muslims are blowing everybody up, but in the sense we're supposed to try to rid the world of Avodah Zarah. How are we supposed to have an agreement with it?
They didn't have a choice at the time. The Greeks were destroying everything, so the Asmoneans made a pact with the Romans, and together they attacked the Greeks.
That seemed though as if there was an apparent call.
Right. So that deserves a discussion. We discussed it a little bit when we learned the Meiri.
What? Israel, the Havio, but Israel making a treaty with America to beat China. China's a powerful nation, America's a powerful nation.
Right. But the question is, who went to war? It's like saying we made a pact with the United States and then we went and blew up Iraq's nuclear facility. Okay, so we had a pact with the United States, but then there's something unusual. You could say we had a pact with the United States and the United States attacked Iraq and there was the Gulf War and everything turned out okay. Yeah, but if you look closely, you see 100 Scuds land in this country and one person killed, 2 people killed. One Scud lands on the United States and you have 100 and something people killed. So you could choose to see that there were miracles there, or you could say, there were peace treaties. If you look closely, you see that those peace treaties weren't the reason for the success. And the same thing with the Yom Kippur was, same thing with the Six-Day War. You could look at it and say, the United States was backing us. Yeah, if you look closely, you start realizing that they were troublemakers for us. On a certain level, we bought arms from them, and it carried a certain amount of weight that they were on our side. But at the end of the day, it doesn't take away from the miracle. But for that, you have to look up close. So you have to look closely at the story of Hanukkah in order to understand what was the miracle there. But you're right. It wasn't an overt miracle like the splitting of the sea. You could have looked at it and said, there was a peace treaty, there was a treaty with the Romans, etc. But the same thing with the splitting of the sea, by the way. There is a pasuk that describes that all night long there were great winds. I know that it was Spinoza who liked to quote this, but at the end of the day, it is a true point. Spinoza said people like to see the verses that say the sea split, and people like to ignore the verses that say that God made a very strong wind pass over the sea all night long. The both verses are there.
Have you heard of Gerald Schroeder? So he does he talks about this whole thing about how it's possible that every certain amount of time, with the wind and everything like that in the area, it's possible for such a thing to happen. The real miracle is just the timing.
Yep, that's how the Rambam seems to learn. Okay, Pasuk
really?
Yud Bet. Yeah. Pasuk Yud Bet. Va'omar aleihem. So I said to the owners of the sheep, Im tov b'neichem havu sechari ve'im lo chadalu. So he said to them, if you like the idea that I should shepherd your sheep, so then pay me my wages. That's how you work with the shepherd. And if you don't, so then don't give me my wages, and I'm not working anymore for the sheep. Vayishkelu etzechari shiloshim kasef. And then they weighed out my wages, and they paid me 30 silver coins. Now here is a discussion. What the Navi is alluding to is that Hashem, so to speak, is saying to the people of Israel, if you want me to watch over you, so then you have to do my service. You have to keep the mitzvos. And if not, so then I leave you. I leave you to the forces of nature. And the people weighed out the 30 coins. That's an allusion to the idea that our sages taught us, that every generation has 30 tzaddikim. There will never be less than 30 tzaddikim in a generation. And the tzaddikim are called kesef because the word kesef comes from the word lichsof, to desire. Just like chifetz comes from the word chafetz, to desire, so to kesef comes from the word lichsof, which is another way of saying desire. So that the tzaddikim are those that people and Hashem desire, so that's why they're called kesef. Vayomer Adonai Elai. So Hashem said to me, Hashlichehu el hayotzer, throw that money to the storage. Yotzer is like otzar. Eder hayikar asher yakarti me'aleihem. Hashem says, put that in the storage house. Eder hayikar, put it in the fortified place, the honorable fortified place. Eder means fortification. Eder hayikar, the cherished fortified place. Asher yakarti me'aleihem, that I put it above them like a crown over their head. So Hashem said, the righteous in each generation, their righteousness is going to be saved. I'm storing it for a future generation. Meaning, on the one hand, the people say, but we have 30 righteous people. Didn't you say by Sodom and Amorah, it's enough to have 10 righteous people and there won't be destruction? Hashem says, okay, you have righteous people, but take that righteousness that they do and store it, asher yakarti me'aleihem, and use it. And this is the idea that we have, that there is a temple up above that's being built. My wife sometimes speaks to the kids when they're little, and she speaks to them about the Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. And that when they do an act that's a mitzvah, so Hashem adds another brick to the Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. So the kids sometimes, it really comes to life in their mind. Ima, ima, did I get another brick now? So this idea that Hashem takes the righteous acts and they are the building blocks of the temple that's yet to come. So if you think about it, it's a beautiful idea. That we have to move the world forward to a certain point. And we're building. We keep trying to build and move forward. But the idea is really alluded to here in the prophecy. Hashem says, take that righteousness, put it in the precious storage house that I'm preparing for them. This isn't something that they're going to use now, but it is for the future. So the Navi says, okay, so that's what I did. I took the money, so to speak, and I put it in the storage house, and the merit still waits till the building of the future temple. Okay, pick up here. I'm not allowed to tell. We'll pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next week. Or should we do 5 more minutes and finish the chapter?
Yeah? Question quick. Okay. People say 36, people say 37.
Right. I don't know. Here it says 30. Vaigdah et makli hasheni et chovelim. Now he takes the other staff, the staff that represents punishment, and he says, now I destroyed that second staff. I didn't want to lead them all together. I didn't want to lead them in the pleasant way. I didn't want to lead them in the way of suffering. And the allusion is that ultimately there will not be any leadership in Am Yisrael. Meaning, originally there's the staff of Noam, the first three kings of the Hasmonean kingdoms who led us in a pleasant fashion. And then there was the Chovlim, the next series of kings who were murderous kings. And finally, there were no kings. The people were exiled, there was a destruction, and there was no leadership, not even the leadership that was harmful. And that's the idea of Agdat Makliya Sheni. So I broke up my second staff, Et HaChovlim, the staff that represented punishment, Le'afer Et Achvah Ben Yehuda Uvein Yisrael. And this is the annulment of the rulership of the Kohanim, and that annulment will ultimately divide Israel again, because Israel and Judea were united, and the people who should have led Israel were the tribe of Judea, and the Hasmoneans sinned in appointing a king from the Kohanim. And the idea that there was now a king who was not even a Jew, Herod, so then it's as though now there was no relationship between Yehuda and Israel. Meaning, you had the tribe of Yehuda who should have been the kings. And they appointed Kohanim, and you'd say, okay, it's still in the family. You know, it's like the mafia always says. Always leave someone in the family behind the cash register. This way, when they rob you, it stays in the family. I can't tell you where I know that from. But anyways, what?
Now that you added that last part, I want to know. Originally, I just thought you heard the saying in the street or something.
So the Navi is saying, now that there's a king who's not even from Am Yisrael, so then it's not only that the tribe of Yehuda is not the kings, it's as though there's no more relationship, because now anyone can take the throne. You see, it's not even Jews who are at the throne. So that's the illusion here, that I annulled the brothership between Yehuda and Yisrael. We're still one family, but they should have been the leaders. And now that it's not even Kohanim who are sitting at the helm, so it's as though we're not even one family, because we're not looking to them for kings, and it's not even a Jew who's a king. Vayomer Adonai Eilai, Od kach lecha keli roe evili. Hashem said to him, okay, take another vessel, another staff that will guide the people, but it will guide them in a foolish way, in a way that lacks intelligence. Ki hine anochi mekim roe ba'aretz. Because this is an allusion to the fact that I will appoint a shepherd in the land, I will appoint a king over the land. Hanichadot lo yifkod, hana'ar lo yivakesh. And this shepherd, he won't care if sheep gets lost. He won't care for the young. Ve'anishberet lo yirapeh. He won't heal those that are wounded. Hanitzava lo yechalkel. He won't feed the sheep that remain standing. Sometimes you have a sheep that are ill and they can't go out to graze, so the shepherd brings them food. He won't do that. Ufsar habiria yochal ufarsehen yifarek. And if he has a healthy sheep, so that's the one he slaughters and eats. And with his staff, he breaks the legs of the healthy ones, that they shouldn't go forward. So this is going to be a king that is completely corrupt, that's only there to take advantage of the nation. And that's talking about the kingdom of Herod, that murdered whole towns, that did anything they could to take the money away. Hoi roi haili lo zevi hatzon. Woe to you, you shepherd, who has no use. You're of no good to the people. You just let the sheep go, and you let them be destroyed. And that's talking about the king Agrippas, who was the last of the Herodian dynasty that left his nations and just went and became one of the Romans, as it says in Josephus. He went and fought wars on behalf of the Romans. He didn't care about the people. So that's the Ro'i Ha'elil, that my shepherd who is useless, O zevi atzon, who lets go of the sheep, cherev al ziro, val ein yemino, he has let a sword come and slice off his right hand, let his strength be cut off, let his right eye be taken out. That's again a prophecy over the Herodian dynasty. They're going to constantly be looking to hold on to the throne, and God says, let their eyes be taken out. Ziro'o, yavo, shtivash, ve'en yimino, kahotiche. His hand should shrivel up, the strength of the Herodian kingdom should shrivel up, and their eyes, their anticipation to hold on to the throne should go dark, and the people should be freed from this tyrannous kingdom. From this tyrannous dynasty. And that's what happens ultimately. The Romans come in and they see that there's only tyranny going on here, and they bring in their own governors and they get rid of, you have Agrippa and his kids who try to kill him, and his kids who kill one another. And finally, the Caesar comes in and he really bumps them off one by one. And that's the prophecy that Zechariah gives us about the doom of the people towards the end of the Second Temple, and he says it all goes back to the people. If they want to leave the way of Hashem, so Hashem says, okay, I will appoint shepherds that are hurtful and harmful and tyrannous, and then finally that will bring about the destruction of the Second Temple. And it's very interesting that we're standing at the beginning, at the threshold of the period of the Second Temple, and the Navi is looking to the end. But we have to remember that this is the last prophet. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the final three prophets of Israel. So they have to give us prophecy that will hold us for times to come. And perhaps this is part of it. This prophecy about the tyrannous leaders, the tyrannical leaders, the leaders who care only to hold on to power, and the idea that our troubles stem from ourselves. We'll pick up here with Zachem next week.